Hello, everybody. Welcome to our February 20th Q&A call here for the Lead Generation Machine. And I just wanted to remind you that if you have any questions, there's anything you want to discuss, star 2 is the way to raise your hand. And also wanted to let you know that so we're going to be adding one more call, one more group call to our schedule, and that's going to happen next month. And let me get the date here. I think it's March 13th, 1 o'clock Eastern time. So mark that in your calendars. This will be our last call together. But, you know, I want to emphasize that that's not the last opportunity to get feedback and to work with us. This is a process that we're working with you on at your pace. So there's still interaction with me. We still have the forum. You're still working with my team. You're still having your one-on-one with me when you're ready. When you get to that point, if you haven't already, where you want to discuss your lead magnet idea. So this is not the end of our, again, of our work together. This is just, you know, these calls have just been one way where we can talk, you can get feedback, ask questions, et cetera, especially on the material that we're covering. And then, of course, I've been bringing Crystal in to some of these calls for those of you who are already deploying this and got ConvertKit in place and so forth. But, again, don't feel like, you know, we're cutting anybody off. Not at all. We just have to, you know, put an end to this at some point. And that's where we are right now, but we can continue to interact and give you feedback. Again, we want you to be successful. We want to walk away with some case studies from this at some point. So we have your best interest in mind here. So again, star 2, if you have a question, want to discuss an issue, and I see that I got Crystal here as well. So if you got anything on ConvertKit as well, we can help you with that as well. All right, let's see. I think this might be Jim. Hey, Jim, is that you?
Good day, Ed. How are you?
Doing well. Good to talk to you.
Good. Yeah, I popped in because my meeting ran short, and so I'm happy to be on the call.
Excellent.
I've got an overarching concern around the way I've started this marketing effort of mine, where I was doing a lot of outbound marketing, connecting with, as I mentioned, I think at one point hundreds of different prospective clients. And somehow or the other, I am still caught in this web of very manual interaction with them. There's no way that I can get them on ConvertKit or another automated email program without potentially running afoul of spam laws. And I'm not sure how I can overcome that, and perhaps there is no way, but I thought I'd get your input, Crystal's input, as to what might be available for me here.
Okay, so these are prospects, just to make sure we're on the same page here. These are prospects that you had assembled a list of, and you had reached out to them in one way, shape, or form, and now you're trying to stay in touch with them in some way. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes. Out of that list of hundreds of prospective clients, I've got maybe 40 leads. I've already got all their emails. So, you know, for me, it's just a matter of trying to automate this process. And I'm a little lost as to, well, perhaps I'm just looking for some help as to how I might be able to automate some of that with what we've done.
Okay.
With you folks.
So let me define a few things just so we're talking about the same thing. So when you create, assemble a list yourself of prospects you'd like to reach out to. For our purposes, we tend to call these prospects, right? They're prospects.
Correct.
The moment they say, you know what, something along the lines of I'm interested, and whether it's now or not now, but I am interested, we could call those a lead.
Yes.
Okay, so they've raised their hand. Okay. So now a lead can happen a couple of different ways. It could happen in the method I just described. You created a list, you reach out to 100, and five of them said, you know, maybe now, maybe later, they became a lead. The other way you can generate a lead is you put build breadcrumb trails to a page on your site that's got a lead magnet or some kind of offer, in our case is a lead magnet, and they go ahead and opt in for it. You've just generated a lead. Okay, so what you can stay in touch with, and you should stay in touch with leads. You should continue to reach out to prospects who have not yet become leads. However, there's a line there that you have to be careful about, and that is permission-based marketing. When you've generated a lead, you have implied or direct permission to contact them in an automated fashion through a system like ConvertKit. Until they have raised their hand and turn into a lead, you don't. So that's when you have to be careful. There's two aspects to it. There's a legal aspect, and there's kind of a best practices aspect of it. Legally, it's just getting harder and harder to go ahead and just market to them anyway because you haven't gotten their permission. But even if there weren't any legal implications, from a best practice standpoint, they haven't said anything to the effect of, yeah, I might be interested at some point, maybe, or now, or whatever. So I would still say, look, I hear where you're coming from, but I don't think the goal here is really how can we automate as much as possible or how can we make this as efficient as possible. I think the goal is how can we get the right prospects to turn into leads? How can we lead them, to use a different version of lead, how can we lead them down the right path where there's a higher probability that they will go ahead and raise their hand? I think that's the better approach because otherwise what you're doing is, you know, like you mentioned, there's legal implications, and then there's the, you know, do we want to just go ahead and just put them in there anyway and just, you know, hope and pray that some of them will just go, okay, fine, what have you got? You see what I'm saying? So, first of all, does that make sense in terms of the distinction?
Well, I agree. I you know, that's definitely the optimal situation. Where I guess I'm running into a quandary here is many of these people I've reached out to several times, but not typically what is the average, maybe 6 to 10 times before you get action from people. If they haven't unsubscribed me or if they haven't said I've given them that opportunity, and no, I think it's just primarily an issue of, just ignore me. So they're not going to unsubscribe and they're not going to say stop sending. They're just whatever. So there is, in my view, some value in trying to automate this so that it makes it easier for them to perhaps unsubscribe or to raise their hand. One way or the other, I'm going to get some response.
Well, technically, they shouldn't have an option to unsubscribe if they're not a lead yet because they wouldn't be in a system. So I'm
correct.
Assuming.
Wrong. I guess that's the fact that they're getting emails from me would say that they're on my list. So I would
Meaning, yeah, you're sending them a warm email, but they're not in a system.
Right.
Okay. So, that's good. So I would say, look, you're going to have to decide at what point do I just move on you know, whether it's five touch points or whatever it's going to be, I think that's a better way to look at it and to say, how can I automate this? Because, again, I think the better question to ask yourself here is not so much how can I make this process more efficient. I think the better question is, how can I optimize my efforts? That's going to give you better answers, because when you ask yourself that, then really the approach is, okay, well, the goal is not to, you know, email them, continue to send them warm emails 12, 15 times. The goal is to figure out, what point do I just move on and spend those resources on other prospects?
Well, I'm all with you on that. I'd love to be able to ascertain which ones those are without spending literally hours and hours and hours and hours of manual template emails. So, yeah, okay, fair enough. I agree with you. That mindset is with me. I do not like wasting my time, and certain of these prospects have already I've unsubscribed them. I've taken them off my list. But there's just still so many who I believe could potentially be business. I guess I'm just relegated to one option here, and that's manually connecting with them.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand the frustration, but I think that's coming from a place of, I got 200 people that should become clients. Yes. And I think you need to shift the mindset a little bit and say, well, you know, I can't make someone be interested. Instead, what I can do is write down some criteria that would make someone a good prospect for me, and find as many people as many companies as I can who fit that criteria as best as I can. Then I'm going to make so many attempts, and if I get no answer based on a very specific process, then I move on. Rather than, you know, God darn it, you know, these people, they should be doing content marketing and they should be talking to me. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a frustrating way to go about it, and you're just gonna get discouraged. So, I would say set the criteria first. That way, it's not an emotional decision, and then you just run through the system.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. I don't think that I have much emotional connection to it. It's just simply going through this process in the same manner that we are going to do if we have inbound leads. We're just going to go through that process and then move on. So that's fair enough. I think your responses have been right on the mark.
Maybe think about it this way. You have, you're going to be knocking on two different types of doors. One is going to be outbound prospecting with warm emails. And you need to define the criteria. Okay, who would be a good prospect for me? And let's just say that, okay, companies in the water, wastewater, and clean tech industries that, from just a quick glance through their website, I can tell they understand content marketing because they're doing it. And let's just say you're not going to worry so much about company size. I honestly don't really – I think that's an overrated criteria for many of us.
That's my experience.
You know, we get too hung up on that, I think, as freelancers. But so let's just say that it's that criteria. Okay, cool. So you start going through different lists and publications, and you just keep adding to your list gradually. And then your criteria is going to be, all right, I'm going to find a marketing manager, a marketing director. If I find more, great, but I'm going to start with one. And then you're going to have criteria as to how many times you're going to try. For instance, mine has always been, my baseline criteria has always been one warm email, no response, 2 weeks later is a follow-up using the original warm email. And then 2 weeks after that, if still no response, then I'm asking myself a very basic question. Would I rate them A or B? A being, no, this would definitely be a great client. B would be, I don't know, I just happened to find them in a publication. It doesn't seem like they would be They could go either way. If it's A, then I go ahead and send the original warm email and a printed letter via snail mail. And if there's still no response, then I drop them. So
beauty.
I have very specific criteria, you see. So then, and when I say I drop them, not necessarily the company. It could be I drop that particular contact and move to contact two. Because maybe I found another marketing director or another marketing manager in a different division. So that way, I know exactly what I'm doing. So that's kind of your – that's one effort. The other effort is, okay, I want to start getting some inbound leads. In order to do that, I have to create breadcrumb trails to my lead magnet offer. And that's going to involve some outbound prospecting, if you will, to some degree, because I have to – part of it, the effort might be some guest blogging. So that's going to require knocking on some doors, right? So there's an element to that one as well. It depends on what you choose to do in terms of those breadcrumb trails from session nine. But those, you know, those breadcrumb trails don't just make themselves. You have to build them. But in both instances, you're out there kind of knocking on doors. It's just two different flavors of that.
Well, that's a great distillation, and you know, I think it's helped me shift a little bit about my outbound efforts in the first segment of that group of prospects, and I'm going to just be a little more cutthroat about this. To hear how you do it indicates to me that I probably overextended on some, and that helps to narrow the list.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. The good news, Jim, is that there's plenty out there.
Sure.
So part of it is, okay, how can I replenish that list? Because we know there's not just 200. That was kind of your initial set that you assembled.
Right.
By the way, just a quick tip. I found, Jim, that it's I get discouraged if I try to build too big a list and then start prospecting. I like to do it in batches of about 5 or 10 and then do the prospecting little by little. And there's two reasons for it. Sometimes if I say, okay, I'm going to build a list of another 100, that could take several weeks with, you know, everything you might have going on. Second reason that doesn't work as well is by the time you get to your 100th company prospect on your list, you would have forgotten all about, you know, number one in terms of why you put them on that list. So I like to do kind of a just-in-time approach to this. I find a couple, and I'm looking through the websites and find some interesting things that I could maybe talk about in the email, maybe something I could point out. I'd like to get that out the door as soon as possible. No more than, you know, let's say, like I said, a batch of 5 or 10, but even just in time, one at a time, works even better because it's fresh and your approach and your script, and it's all going to feel much more genuine than if you're not going back to number one, which you put on your list 3 weeks ago.
You know, that's a great example because I did get a subset group that I started doing just what you said, just by accident, not by design, and it has been better, definitely. So I strongly encourage anybody who's listening that that's a great way to do it. It's just in small batches and be very personal about it in those small batch scenarios. That's been working for me lately. Thanks for that.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, perfect. Good.
Appreciate
stuff,
your
Jim.
Help. Thanks. Great insight.
You bet, man. Yeah. Okay, good stuff. So again, star two, if you have a question. Melissa says, this is very interesting, but I need to sign off and listen to the replay. I, too, have a very short list, but it's just current and past clients. I've never asked them for permission to send them marketing emails, opt-in offers, promotions, et cetera. Where do I start with getting their permission? Yeah, great point. If it's a... current and past clients, the good news is that you have a relationship with them. So it's because you have a business relationship with them already, almost all regulations see that as a kind of a different group of people. There are two approaches you could take. Approach A would be to just go ahead and add them to your list, but then in your let's just say that you want to go ahead and start a newsletter, a monthly newsletter. You can add them to your newsletter list, and just at the top of each issue say, hey, you're getting this because, you know, we've done business together and blah, blah, blah. You can always unsubscribe by clicking the link at the bottom. I prefer approach B, which is to reach out to each of your current and past dormant clients and say, I'm launching this monthly newsletter. It's just a quick blurb every month with a quick marketing tip. Whatever you're going to do, you know, just position it the way you want to position it. I'd love to be able to add you to my distribution list. If that's okay, it's just a great way to just stay in touch. You can always unsubscribe anytime if, you know, if you'd rather not get it. And I find that well over 50% say yes. Nobody ever says no. If they don't respond, then that's kind of a no. No, or they just didn't see it or forgot to reply. But I find that even though out of 20, you may get, let's say, 12 people say yes, I think I'd rather have those 12 who have confirmed, yes, I want it, than to assume that all 20 want it and then turn off a few of them. You're not going to make anyone upset. But I find that if you haven't asked for permission, especially if these are marketing people know that, you know, that's not really the best approach. So I'd rather ask for permission, even though I know I'm going to end up with fewer people on that list. But at least I've gotten their commitment, their permission. There's a couple other reasons, but let me give you one more reason why that approach works even better. When you do that, there's always a chance that one of them will say, absolutely, Melissa, hey, you know what? Now that I got you here, I want to ask you if you can help us with something we're thinking about deploying. And that's actually a fairly common response that my coaching clients have gotten, and it was unexpected. So I'm not saying count on it, but it often leads to an unexpected conversation about some potential work, which can lead to some actual paying work. So one more reason to reach out. When you think about it that way, it's really an excuse to stay in touch with current and especially dormant and past clients, right? So it's just another outreach. So, yeah, and the good news for you guys is we've just given you the infrastructure for you to make that happen. We've put ConvertKit in place for you, and that's your email service provider. That is your mechanism for launching that newsletter. This part is what most people stall on, the deploying the system and the opt-in mechanism. So that's in place for you, and now it's just a matter of just launching. And just a quick tip, keep it simple. You know, don't try to launch something super amazing and, you know, complex. Just a quick article every month. And when I say quick, I'm talking about a quick tip and blurb. Don't be afraid to use something from your personal life. You know, just took a trip to, Washington, D.C., and you went into this coffee shop, and this is what happened there. And this is how it ties to the work we do as marketers in the water industry. And then just a quick call to action. Hey, have a project in this area or that area that you need help with? Reach out to me. Some other clients that I've worked with will take that opportunity to add yet a third section. So that's the article of section one. Section two is a quick either sample or case study. Hey, I just wrapped up this project with ABC Company, revamped their website, rewrote their copy. Here it is, right? So it's credibility. And then section three is the call to action. Very simple to deploy. And you'd be surprised how many people say, you know, it's great to see your email in my inbox today. I need to reach out to you and talk about some things we could do together. happens all the time. It has less to do with what's in the article and much more to do with the fact that you're keeping your name in front of them. All right, star two. If you have a question or want to talk through an issue, going once, going twice. All right, I don't see any other raised hands. We'll go ahead and wrap up. And again, guys, put in your calendar. We'll send you reminders, but we'll do one more call on the 13th. So just in case you have any remaining items. If you're kind of still stuck in this process, I know a couple of you are still working through your lead magnet in terms of the topic and so forth. I think that most of the folks who have been through this already can agree with me. It's better to set a deadline and just narrow it down to one thing and just go for it than it is to overthink it or to try to wait until the right topic comes to mind. You know, we can talk about it. Keep in mind, nothing's final. You and I will have a one-on-one conversation. Once you've narrowed it down to one topic, even if you're not 100% sure, let's talk about it. We're going to have that conversation anyway. So fill out your lead magnet submission form, send it to us. Let's have that conversation. There have been a couple of folks in the group where, you know, they were going in this direction, but after a conversation, we realized, you know what, it's either a subset of that or it's this other thing. I think it's going to work better. Don't feel like everything's got to be final before you set that through. Do your best with it. Let's get moving through the process. I guarantee you could think about this for the next 8 months. You're still not going to be any closer to being 100% sure. So you know, it's better to move. Let's get going. Let's get this done for you so you can start getting results. And I think you're going to be much better off that way. So with that, we'll sign off. We'll get the replay posted tomorrow, and I will talk to you guys on the 13th. Take care.